The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
My return to bread this past week has been, talk about a romance. This was the redeeming of the year. I went to my parents on Christmas Eve, and basically from that day until now, I've existed on a carb-only diet. Occasionally taking a break for spoons of sugar. It was maybe the best week of my whole life.
So we're off the wagon, basically.
I mean, yeah, tomorrow we got to get back on. But I got in such good shape this year. And I just went hog wild during the holidays.
This is the thing. This is what sucks about it. It's like, okay, I'm not going to drink soda for like ever. And then you have one Coke Zero and you're like, I am an absolute drug addict. And you just are like, then you're just drinking a 2 liter. Like, it's so sad.
Soda's the thing that will never get me. Like, it wouldn't matter. That's one thing I think I'm off of for good.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
I don't
you,
know why. I mean, the occasional Pellegrino, but I don't know. I don't like the way it makes me feel, those bubbles. I don't know why.
Oh, I'm gashing up.
You are a Coke Zero aficionado.
If I could be sponsored, are you kidding me?
That was whenever I, and this is neither good nor bad, but whenever I think about soda in general, I only think about Jill Zarin and the amount of Diet Cokes that she drinks in a day is truly like medically unsound, I might add. And I think that she's very public about it. Like, she's been on the internet packing suitcases of Diet Coke when she goes abroad.
Yeah. This is the thing. It's like,
that's someone who's not well. I mean, honestly, not well. Go ahead. Yeah.
You ate bread for like 2 days and you're like, oh no, what will I do? Like, there's people that just inject poison into them every single day, and they're like leading lives like no other. You know,
it's
that's what I don't
so
get.
So funny too, like, especially people that get obsessed with like Diet Coke, is truly, truly tastes like battery acid,
especially
like, with a hint of sugar.
Once you've hit over to Coke Zero, Diet Coke tastes like nothing. Like it truly tastes so hollow.
Does Coke Zero taste like Coca-Cola?
No, because it's still in a diet realm. But because regular Coke, if I drink a regular Coke, I'll like almost die from the sugar. Like it's right. So sweet and it makes me so feel so sick. Whereas okay. Like a Coke Zero is just like a flavorful version of Diet Coke.
Okay. One thing I cannot abide even
it's
like
a perfect medium.
Let me tell you this. If I was in a restaurant choking and the only beverage available to clear my airways was Diet Pepsi, I would look at the person and sign to them, let me die.
No, I was drinking out of a Pepsi cup one day.
Diet Pepsi. And you said,
are you drinking Pepsi? You screamed at me. The worst, most mad you've ever been at me.
I think that my memory of Diet Pepsi is that it tastes like foot shavings and sweet and low. It's just so, it's like the most foul, unsellable, undrinkable beverage in the world. Yes. Hey, y'all drinks Diet Pepsi, doesn't she? Stop. Isn't she like a big?
She's a Pepsi spokesmodel.
Hey, y'all. She was pretty quiet over the holidays, Britney Spears.
She's celebrating.
I guess with the book of the year.
Book of the year. The New Testament.
Yep. I wonder how many writers will be on the sequel.
you keep bringing up the second book, and you're the only person talking about the second book.
I don't think that
the
I
rest
am.
Of
I
us
think
have.
I think
no,
it's
the
already
rest
written.
The rest of us have already decided that the second book's never coming.
What did you? Well, first of all, I know what's coming right now, listeners. Okay. So I'm afraid of how I want to wedge myself into the next probably 90 minutes that Chris is going to go on about this, because I want to ask Chris what he did. How his New Year's Eve was, and I know that he is like no other topic in the history of this podcast. He is chomping at the clit to talk about New Year's Rockin' Eve and what an apparent abomination it was.
Dominic, I'm so sorry to derail this, but Rebecca Bregman has just sent in late breaking news. L.A. judge finds Tom Girardi competent to stand trial, CBS.
Oh, I saw this. This is, well, it's not like old. I mean, it came out earlier today.
Oh, really? I'm just getting eyes on it now, and that's a story, I'm sorry to say.
That
changes so much.
That he's competent. Do you think Erica Jane is going down?
No, I just think God only knows what her next move is going to be, because there was a lot that was up to snuff because of him claiming he was incompetent that I wonder if she'll go back on now. Anyway, moving right along. New Year's Rockin' Eve. One thing it wasn't was rockin'. I'll say that much.
What is your biggest complaint about it?
It was unwatchable. Everything about it. Now listen, is it ever perfect? No. Is it New Year's coverage? Yes. Was this year like, here's Green Day for the third time, and they're 97 years old, performing from L.A.? There was
ageist.
There was one performance in New York, and it was LL Cool J singing a song that I've watched him perform for 25 years.
What song was it?
Mama Said Knock You Out.
Oh, no, Mama said, really?
Like, and like, so I love LL Cool J. Don't get me wrong. But when I tell you, first and foremost, is Jenny McCarthy okay? We all as a society need to check on her. Because Rita Ora, who is beautiful, by the way, and like what didn't do terrible job, replaced Jenny McCarthy. And I think I'm scared for Jenny McCarthy.
Wait, so she wasn't on the broadcast at all?
Not hide nor
She's
hair.
Probably just had enough.
No. Are you kidding me?
You think that they needed to call in Rita Ora because there was some sort of medical emergency?
I think that they fired her, and I think that she's on a bridge, is what I think.
Well, I will say this. And by the way, when we're speaking of New Year's Rockin' Eve, we are just speaking of the one ABC.
Correct.
You're talking just about the Ryan Seacrest hosted.
I can talk about more because once I was like, I simply can't watch this anymore, I popped right on over to CNN watching Anderson and Andy, and it was worse.
Well, yeah, I only saw clips this year. I was overseas. I was abroad. And as I'm looking in this mirror at these tits, I am still very much abroad. I was in Paris this year on New Year's Eve, and I didn't see clips of anything until following day. And I did see Andy and Anderson and Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang all together. And I watched about 10 seconds of that, and I decided I didn't want to be gay anymore. So that's the announcement I have for this broadcast. Please, I know it sounds bitter and jealous, and maybe it is all those things, but I'm just like,
please,
come on.
Please know that someone messaged us and was like, have you ever thought about having Bowen Yang on your podcast? And I was like, yes, but I don't think that he would ever answer us or want to be on this podcast.
Why do you think he wouldn't want to be here?
Because he's on SNL.
I was having this discussion with someone today about Andy Cohen and, you know, how much longer he would do what he does. Is Matt Rogers being groomed as Andy's heir apparent?
I don't think so. I just don't see it happening.
Did Andy say something about power bottoms on the thing?
He might have.
Party bottoms. That's what he said.
He said that on CNN.
Well, just he was trying to make a joke, and he said, I don't want straight people knowing all of our terms, even that listen to this podcast. Something has to be left at home, and pass around party bottoms is one of those things.
I only could watch it for a little bit when Andy was quizzing Anderson about, did someone from Vanderpump Rules say this or just a normal person in pop culture? And Anderson Cooper, who, let me remind everyone listening, is a Vanderbilt and has never worked like for a paycheck a day in his life and has been groomed his entire life to be a wealthy 1% celebrity, was like, who said this and has no idea what any of it was? And then Ariana Maddox was coming in with like quotes, and then I just had to change the channel. Back to the only semblance of an anchor in the storm, who was Ryan Seacrest, as much as it pains me to say.
Well, because hosting is hard.
Is hard, and he thankfully looked like a normal human being hosting a show that wasn't sitting there wishing he was anywhere else. It was terrible. And then every musical performance was like, here's someone from 45 years. Here's Ellie Goulding singing a song from 2014. That was the performances. Meanwhile,
maybe people were just fucking afraid to go to Times Square this year with the whole world at war. I couldn't get far enough away from New York for New Year's.
It was crazy.
New Year.
Okay. João Leto performed.
What did he perform?
His only song that I know the words to.
Oh, God. Is this why he climbed the Empire State Building?
Then
all that song from the new album.
Then at 12:30, instead of like a real performer coming on, like someone with a number one song, they had Matt Friend, the guy that does all the impressions on Instagram, come on and do random impressions of celebrities at 12:31 a.m.
I guess these shows are not as star-studded as they used to be when Mariah came out and said she was told there would be tea. I guess the genre peaked.
Dominic, it was... So then, it's like, okay... Happy New Year, midnight. That was the worst show I've ever seen. Then it's like, now we're going to kick off our LA performances. First person that comes out, Dochi, the one that sings that, what it is, ho, what's up, song that I'm obsessed with.
Okay.
Great performance. Then we have Cardi B come out and perform. Then we have Megan Thee Stallion. It was like, after midnight in New York, every celebrity had woken up and was ready to perform at the fucking...
Oh, wow.
It was... insane how... Well,
some of those performers should only be seen after midnight anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
were Megan and Cardi clothed? That's
true. Yes, surprisingly, yes, actually.
All right. Well, I was surprised. Cold. It's probably cold out there.
Well, as famously, Dominic, you know that Cardi B says that a hoe never gets cold.
Oh, I didn't know that, actually. Yeah,
that's a throwback. That's like a deep cut. Then they had like Chic and Nile Rodgers come on doing like all the... After New York was over, it was a great performance. But the whole time, for hours beforehand, I was like bopping, ready to go. It's like, here's a pop celebrity that isn't famous anymore singing a song. Hmm. It was terrible.
Well, speaking of terrible, some of our favorite celebrities from years gone by did not ring in the new year happily.
They sure did.
I'm speaking, of course, of rumored couple Paula Abdul and Ian Ziering. I'm just kidding, but we're going to talk about them both. I'd watch the two of them go. I'd watch their OnlyFans. Paula, and first of all, Ian Ziering, he of Beverly Hills 90210, is 59 years old, and he was assaulted by a biker gang, and it was caught on video. They clipped his car, and he got out of the car and started swinging at them, and it was all...
Let's rephrase. He assaulted them, by the way.
Well, I mean, I believe there are many sides to this story, but they must have done something to him, and he got out of the car, and they were swinging at each other, and his daughter ran away, and she was very upset, and their emotional reunion is captured on camera. Thankfully, everyone's okay. But the real headline of this story is not how dangerous the streets of Los Angeles are. The headline is that at age 59, Ian Ziering is still a hot, bubbling piece of ass.
Where
has he been hiding?
The pictures I saw, I was like, ooh. I was not.
You need to clean your glasses.
I have to be
I'm looking at him and I'm like, wow.
I saw
you're
the video.
Still Steve.
He runs up to them and then pushes the one guy, and then they all just descend on him. They're like, how dare you think you're about to do this right now? And then they wreck him from tip to taint, and he has to run away scared. And I was like, honestly.
Well, he was being attacked by a gang.
Yeah. That because he started it.
You're saying that Ian Ziering haunted an entire gang.
Watch the video where he gets out of his car, runs up to one of them, and attacks them.
I feel like I entered the video thinking that there was a whole minute beforehand that I didn't see.
I think maybe they cut him off or like something like that. You know what I mean? It was like I'm sure that like they were like doing road rage to each other, and then he like got out of the car and was like, "Fuck you!" And then they were like, "Oh, you just put your hands on me? Absolutely not."
Or maybe I heard that they drove up on the side of the car and they were like, "Oh, look, it's fucking David Silver." And he was like, "That was not my character's name, you punks."
No, like
got out and started beating them.
That's the energy he brings to the beginning of the video, I will say.
I'll take it. You know, sometimes those guys are a lot of fun for like 6-7 minutes, but you know, there's still 6-7 minutes of fun. Then you never talk to them again.
Yeah. No, it's not.
I can't believe you don't find Ian Ziering attractive. I mean,
I haven't seen him in 97 years, but I don't know. The pictures I saw, I was like,
But 60? He's almost 60? That means, A, I'm even older than I think. And B, I want to have sex with Ian Ziering. I'm just going to put it out there in the universe.
Good.
Would you die if I came here next week and I was like, you'll never guess who just left my apartment. Ian Ziering.
I'll be so happy for you.
But let's, speaking of Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, let's go to our girl Paula Abdul, who after 20 years of silence is accusing former American Idol producer and So You Think You Can Dance judge Nigel Lithgow of sexual assault on more than one occasion.
What a name I haven't heard in speaking of just like Ian Ziering, a name I haven't heard in 9,000 years, Nigel Lithgow.
Right. Right. I was never a big So You Think You Can Dance guy, but I know who he is. I can't remember the exact words he used, but he did say something along the lines of like, Paula is an erratic person. I believe he used the word erratic, which is sort of like you believe all women, obviously, but she does come with a certain amount of baggage where everyone's going to raise an eyebrow.
Let's throw it back to American Idol. Like we went through a lot with her.
Oh, absolutely.
We've been through a lot with Paula.
Hundreds of bottles of pills. Yes.
Yeah.
We've been through all of that with her.
We've been through a lot with Paula Abdul. Again, believe women, but we've been through a lot.
Remember her reality show? I believe it was like 8 hours just of her crying about things unintelligibly and then went off the air. Yeah,
about the Bratz movie, yeah. Well, remember whenever she said that she was in a plane crash?
I'm still...
And everyone is like...
about the Bratz movie. I'm still laughing about that part.
Well, she said that she was in a plane crash and everyone was like, what plane crash? And she's like, I was in a plane crash. And they she can't tell me where, when, which, why, or how. But she swears.
She dreamt it, but it was very real.
She was in a plane crash.
It felt real. Speaking of a plane crash.
Wait, but really quickly.
Yes, but thank you, because this.
But that means all this to say, like, who is the perfect victim for this to be like a predator to pounce on is Paula Abdul, because they know.
If you're
do I believe it 100%? Yes.
If you're a defense attorney, you want every plaintiff to be Paula Abdul if she's available. There's no doubt. Like, which sucks because. I don't know. Nigel Lithgow does seem like a bit of a scumbag, and I don't think that Paula would lie about something.
I mean, look at a picture of him, and that's all you really need. Let's look at his face.
He's sort of like the judge version of Russell Brand. But you know who has crash landed into pop culture and is taking over is Miss Gypsy Rose Lee. Jesus Christ, this girl gets out of jail, slaps on a wig from Ricky's, trots around her husband, gets a TikTok, says she's going to Missouri to meet Taylor Swift. It's like, no. Not everyone who kills their mother gets to meet Taylor Swift, Gypsy Rose Lee. You got to wait in line for that.
Why?
She was going to go to the Chiefs game and they told her not to come because they didn't want to start shit. They were like, it's just not a good idea.
No.
So she is now... you know, a full-blown celebrity. And look, God bless this girl. And I'm not even joking. Like, what she went through, you know, I don't think I've ever been mad at someone where they've wronged me so much that I wanted to kill them. But after everything she supposedly went through, Jesus, like, she deserves a life. There's no doubt about it.
Well, not even supposedly, like, legitimately went through. Like, it's not even alleged.
100%.
No, her mother was an absolute monster, which, like, every single in the documentary about them, every single human being that had any opinion of her mom was like, she wanted to murder everyone in the world. Like, the mom that's dead, like, RIP, but like every single human being in the documentary says that her mom was an absolute monster and everything.
And I don't dispute that. I don't dispute it.
However, does she need to be best friends with Taylor Swift? No.
No, but the other thing is, like, she's got this fame. She has her freedom. And then she trots out a husband. It's like, Gypsy. No. This is your
single
at your zenith
and ready
right now.
To mingle.
This is when you get all the dick. What are you doing?
Okay. This
Rack
is
it up.
Dominic, the fact that you and I did not have cameras rolling on this woman as she walked out of prison is an absolute crime.
Well, I will not say too much, but because I work with a network that did have the cameras there and is rolling on.
Okay,
she's being rolled on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank God.
We're not. Yeah,
all right. We're good to go. Okay.
This is already a done deal.
Okay.
Yeah, which I think it's been announced. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about, but she'll be on your television sets soon, hopefully with a stylist.
That's important.
I know
that's
it's important. 2024. We definitely don't talk about people's physical appearances, but it's sort of my thing.
Well, she doesn't have any teeth. Like,
those four in front.
She's a medical marvel. Like, you know what I mean? Like, her mom put a port in her body. Like, it's not like she's been through a lot.
You know, I'm not, we are making predictions for 2024 today is sort of the theme. We're not fixing anybody. And I don't want to make an early one, but I got to tell you, this is someone who needs to be monitored medically at all times, because the tragedy would be if she gets out of jail and then, because of all the harm that her mother put her through.
Yeah, like starts drinking and just dies, falls down dead.
Or that it just medically, it catches up with her like in the next year or two and she dies. I mean, her body was under a lot of strain based on her mother's.
And like for no reason. That's the other thing.
At all.
It's not even, that's bad. I think she, like, not to jump into the predictions, but she's coming out of the gate strong and I'm liking it.
I think that she just shouldn't be married. That's it. I think she shouldn't be
married. Yeah, if we could get her on The Bachelor, are you kidding me?
I think she needs to stay away from Taylor Swift too. Well, you know what I love about Taylor Swift though? Like, she's so famous that so many times over the past year, people have tried to attach their pet causes to her. And I remember that hotel workers were going on strike in Los Angeles and they were trying to capitalize on Taylor Swift coming to Los Angeles, saying like, they wanted her to make a statement, or maybe she should just stay on her tour bus and not in a hotel. It's just like, what is Taylor Swift supposed to do? Like, she can't stay in a hotel because you don't like your job. Should she not eat at Krispy Kreme because the people at Dunkin' Donuts are unhappy? It's just so people are just throwing their charities onto her and like trying to blackmail celebrities into supporting their causes.
And like, I mean, they're a horrible person if they don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love whenever people are like, someone posts something about whatever, and they're like, but you're not posting anything about Israel. And it's like, okay, like, I'm not qualified to be posting anything about Israel. Like,
right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's not what I'm here for. Like, shouldn't want to listen to what I have to say about it. So like, get the fuck out of here.
It's rare that we have anything other than glorious news about global icon Cher on this broadcast. But apparently Elijah Blue, Cher's son, is in a conservatorship under Cher because he is having mental health issues and possible return of his addiction issues and is unable to manage his own affairs. And so Cher is now doing it, according to the New York Post.
But Cher what assets does Cher's son have?
Well, I mean, he was also, he's also an Allman, you know, he's also, you know, Greg Allman was his dad and Cher is his mom. I'm sure he's got stuff.
Yeah.
I
mean,
you don't think that he has anything? So basically, your argument here, you're coming in with, why would you need a conservatorship over someone who doesn't have things?
But that's the point of a conservatorship, is to like control assets. Do you know what I mean?
So he's got to have some. He has to have some. Right.
But what does Cher care? She doesn't fucking know.
I don't know. What do you think he may? What would we fantasize he has that are the assets? Do you think that maybe he's got like his mom's?
Like Bob Mackie,
30 of her old wigs. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sonny Bono's clip-on mustache. Some of the old Bob Mackie outfits. Like, I'm fantasizing that he's got.
I think a leather jacket from her. Like
anything. The lipstick from the slip she wore when she did the makeover in Moonstruck.
Yeah.
What will it be?
My God, that's weird though.
Nicolas Cage's wooden hand from Moonstruck. This is terrible. This man is seriously ill, and we're putting a museum in his basement.
I know, that's fucked
a
up.
A gay museum, no less. But we do wish you well, Elijah Blue, and we hope that you are not under that conservatorship for much longer. Over the holiday break, Taraji P. Henson let it be known that she is here and she is done taking your shit. And she spoke very passionately about pay disparity amongst actresses, particularly actresses of color, and her experience leaving Empire and being on Top of the World and then not getting a good gig right after that for a number of reasons. But she delivered a very passionate answer in an interview and has continued to do so in subsequent interviews. And now I'm reading little pockets here that Oprah Winfrey's a little pissed about it and that there's a Taraji versus Oprah moment happening right now.
Well, first and foremost, I mean, never go up against Oprah. Like, whoever you are, like, it doesn't matter who you are. Don't go up against Oprah because you're going to lose, one. Two, do we think that it's Oprah's like, I gave you like 9,000 roles and you like didn't, like, what about me? Is that what it is?
I think so. But I think that I think Taraji is alluding to like, why didn't I get more money on The Color Purple? I think that's also part of all of this and having to audition for things and blah, blah, blah. And I think that Oprah's just maybe like, why don't you just slow your roll?
Yeah.
But I don't know if Taraji is Cookie Lion when she gets in the ring with Oprah, I don't know. That might be a draw.
Taraji might feel like she got nothing, but she only then parlayed her time on Empire into becoming a humongous movie star.
But she was a movie star before. That's what she's been like griping about, because she was Oscar nominated for Benjamin Button. And, you know, she was already a big star from Baby Boy. And I mean, Hustle and Flow. I mean, she was already a movie star, and men like upped her profile with Empire, and then just either she had a bad team around her, or she's saying that black actresses just don't get the respect that other performers get.
No, well, she was saying,
why wasn't I huge after Empire?
Well, she was also saying that her team had nothing set up for her.
Right.
Which, like, again, that's what, there's no one that has a real conversation with me that's like, I love my agent. Like, not one person.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. I'm surprised that more people don't say, like, down with agents, because it seems that they do nothing and collect so much money.
Right. Like, I don't have one.
Like, me either. I wouldn't know at all. But I'm saying, like, it's crazy how.
I have a lot of friends that are producers, reality producers, who have agents. And I will say that 30% of them are genuinely happy with what they're getting from their agent.
Like,
and
it's
the majority of them say that they don't hear from them enough, or that they're not putting them up for enough work, blah, blah, blah. I also never like 100% sure about what an agent does. I mean, I know they're supposed to field offers, according to Tootsie. That's a direct line from my screenplay. I am your agent. I'm here. Field offers.
I can't.
But I mean, beyond that, I don't know. Like, some people are like become best friends with their agent, and some other people sue them.
I know, it's crazy.
Sounds very toxic.
I want to hear more about, like, I wish she would tell me more of the story. Like, I want to hear, like, what she thought she was going to have, and then that they just had nothing for her.
Yeah.
Because that's fun. I'm, like, ready for a documentary about it. You know what I mean? I'm ready to, like, get into the story. Because I think it's crazy. I just, like, they live some fantasy life to me. They, like, are your agent, but, like, for what?
Right. They wear big sunglasses and they're on the phone all day.
Yeah. And, like, what are they saying to anyone ever?
Stuff about their Teslas, I would imagine. I guess. And that's it.
You're so stupid.
I want to talk about Maestro. I want to talk about this is like Maestro backlash happening, that like so many people are dragging it on Twitter because it dropped right before Christmas and everyone is watching it. And some people are like madly in love with it, and others are saying that they do not understand what all the fuss is about. Have you seen the film?
I have not.
On the evening of Christmas, my parents and I watched it, and about 45 minutes in, we were not mocking it or trashing it, but it just wasn't for us in that particular moment. And so we're going to delay watching it. But in the interim, I've consulted with many of my associates, a lot of whom love the people who saw it before Christmas, like advanced screenings of it, they all are still in love with it. People who have seen it since Christmas, I think, are being wafted into the tsunami of hatred for it.
And it's hard when you have a movie like Tar that came out last year that was just like so beloved and like unique because it was about a maestro, you know what I mean? Like to have this movie come out a year after Tar is like very tough for me personally.
Also, the thing is, you know, Bradley Cooper, and I don't fault him for this. He's not the first person to release a movie who's basically, they should have just titled the movie, please give me an Oscar for acting. Cause that is what this is. I mean, it is intended to be.
Yes.
A tour de force, and I'm sure that it is, but you know, I feel like he's speaking like this the entire time.
No.
Hi, I'm Lenny. It's like,
no,
tone it down.
It's that bad.
I mean, it feels that way a little bit to me. It feels a little bit put on. It's also hard to like be that way when you're acting opposite Carey Mulligan, who is a global treasure. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like the most, one of the most brilliant, relaxed, like, immersed actresses you could ever see on the screen.
Yeah, and then you walk
in with a phony nose and you're like, blah, 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 blah.
That was House of Gucci for me. That was House of Gucci. It was like, here's Adam Driver, who's a legitimate actor, and then here's three charlatans next to him that are like, Al Pacino's dead, and then there's fucking Freak Number One and Freak Number Two, Lady Gaga, who I love, by the way, and then fucking Joie, like, being Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Like, truly.
You've just ensured that I'm going to watch House of Gucci when we're done here.
It's so bad. Like, oh, everything about it. It was such a train wreck.
I just love it. And when Jared Gualeno walks out there, like, every scene that he's in, it's like watching a cutaway on Family Guy because he's in a different film than everyone else. It really is a different, he's in a different work during House of Gucci. I'll never stop talking about it.
A cutaway in Family
It is,
Guy.
Though.
Dominic, he is on a planet on his own. He's on the top of the Empire State Building and everyone else is on the subway. Like, it is so...
We don't talk enough about Jeremy Irons being in House of Gucci. Like, what planet did someone say?
Absolutely no sense.
What, he's like the most British person who's ever walked the earth.
Ever.
Except maybe for Daniel Radcliffe. Maybe.
I didn't even... No, not even that. I literally couldn't... Excuse me. Literally just heard his whole part in a British accent, even though he didn't have one. Like, I just heard his real voice, like, coming through the speakers, even though he was pretending to. And the fact that they were speaking in English in Italian, like, with offensive Italian accents, I'll never get over for the rest of my life.
I don't know. It was
absolutely no sense.
It was like putting Jeremy Irons in House of Gucci was like casting Charlize Theron as Celie in The Color Purple. It's like, why? Who's making these decisions? This is a major motion picture.
Oh, God. Have you seen The Color Purple yet?
No.
Everyone that has seen it told me it's absolutely incredible.
I've heard that as well.
Yeah, I can't wait to go see it.
I'm looking forward to it. Are you going to wear purple when you watch it?
No, but did you see that woman that was in it and Oprah was at the theater? Oprah was like, what movie are you going to see? And the woman goes, you know what theater, and then she turns around and it's Oprah, and she just immediately starts screaming at the top of her lungs.
It was really cute. Oh, by the way, going back to Maestro, where we started this, you know who really doesn't like Maestro? And who I really wish would... We're going to get to what we think and hope will happen in 2024. This person's absolutely at the tippy top of my list of celebrities that I genuinely want to go away. And I'm putting this person above both alleged and convicted rapists. And that's Meghan McCain. I need you to stop.
Is she around? Because
she's around. She's around. People like Meghan McCain and Alyssa Milano, they get these hit podcasts and they just become news organizations. I think they're always making news. I want Alyssa Milano and Meghan McCain's publicist to do PR for our podcast because they're always... She's in the Post almost every day. She said after she watched Maestro, she tweeted, watched Maestro last night and I could barely get through it. I'm frustrated. I wasted what little free time I have open at night with two young kids watching it. Why are so many Oscar buzz movies like this and so disappointing? Who are these movies for? And to that, Meghan McCain, I ask, who the fuck are you for? How dare you?
Why would you be watching Maestro, a movie about one of the like most famous composers? Why is that a movie you're watching with your children?
I'm frustrated. I wasted what little free time I have. And well, you wasted more of it doing this tweet, Shug.
Yeah, this X. This is the thing. This is the thing. You have people that you trust their opinions on movies, and then there's people that you don't. Meghan McCain is absolutely at the bottom of every person alive's list of this person that I trust about their
movie. I feel like she's opinion. This Millennium Siskel and Ebert. I feel like she matters.
And this is the other thing that gets me really upset when people are like, I wanted it to be like this. It's like, but that's not what this movie was. This movie was this, this, and this. And you wanted it to be Avengers Endgame, and it's not. It's you know what I'm saying?
She's like, well, listen, Megan's also going off. She was on someone else's podcast this week and started going off on the ladies of The View. She said that the show's current co-hosts continually mention her in public, and she's been off of the show for more than 2 years. So this is what She said, and hang on, let me find out what podcast this is from. Okay, she was on author Michael Malice's podcast called You're Welcome. And she said, the thing about The View is that I didn't know when I signed my contract with ABC that this is forever, that for the rest of my life, I'm going to be like bullied and yelled at and abused and brought up for years. I haven't been on that show in years. I just didn't know that when I signed to do the show that I'd have to deal with like these crazy old people just yelling about me all the time.
That's what The View is, Megan. Newsflash.
Honestly, that should be under the title of The View. It should just say crazy old people yelling, just in smaller letters. The View, colon, crazy old people yelling.
No one even needs that. No, not one person walking this planet needs that disclaimer for The View.
There's just too much bitterness. It's so crazy. She's and ruining her father's memory. She's and it's so funny.
You know what's so funny is that, like, of course, the only thing she can do is talk about, like, guess what you shouldn't do is talk about The View. Oh, it's so annoying whenever all these women talk about me. You're doing the exact same thing. And that's all you know how to do because it's all that you have is that you used to be on The View.
I also take issue with the inappropriate and overuse of the word bullied or bullying. And I don't believe that's what's happening in this case. And I feel like she should know better. So stop. If you don't want them to talk about you, Megan, don't you talk about them either. Be the bigger person.
Also, like, have anything. Go watch Maestro again.
Seriously. Try to understand the lessons that you should
learn. Go on Netflix and find, like, I don't know, like, something, a Coco Melon for you and your kids to watch together.
Have you seen Wonka?
No.
I don't think I'm even going to see it. I love T. Chalamet. I do.
I don't really have any plans to see it.
I am just getting through my Producers Guild screeners. I'm a little bit late watching them this year. I did watch Poor Things yesterday, which I loved.
Everyone has been saying it's like crazy.
I didn't know what it was about, so I can't even say it was the opposite of what I thought. But yeah, it's just really unique. And Emma Stone is scary good. She's like a mini Meryl.
The last couple of years, it's like really you can just feel that it's a movie that's engineered to try to be an Oscar winning movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like it's like her time to be like, okay, I'm going after an Oscar now.
But there's a lot of disturbing shit in this movie as well.
Yeah, I heard. I don't know what it is or why or what even the point of the movie is, but I've heard that it's like a lot. I want to see it. But.
It's a long movie too. It's almost 2.5 hours long, but it's funny. I mean, Willem Dafoe is in it and this movie has... I mean, he's like deformed in the movie facially. And so they've like made Willem Dafoe even more unusual looking. And it is definitely, you have to pause sometimes and go, whew. All right, I'm ready. Let's get back into this. Cause it's a lot, but Emma Stone is good. That movie is really good. On the plane ride to London, I watched the latest Mission Impossible movie.
Why?
I could eat 100 of those a day. I'm not even joking.
Where's Shelley?
Well, she's in the movie. Tom Cruise. She's on the back of Tom Cruise's motorcycle that he drives off a cliff. Yeah. And what they don't show is him releasing her from the motorcycle.
You're so stupid.
Kill her.
Literally. Well.
Literally. And it might have been Jade. It might have been Jada Pinkett who killed Shelley Miscavige. Yeah. Or do you think that Shelley actually dispatched Will? Do you think that Jada Pinkett Smith dispatched Will Smith to kill Shelley Miscavige?
Maybe.
You realize that basically what I'm doing here is I've turned Will Smith into the Manchurian candidate. Yeah. And he's just a hired assassin hired by Jada Pinkett to kill people.
Not even that. He's the robot and I robot now. He's not longer his character. He's the one, the robot that jumps on the roof of his car, remember?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wait, I saw another movie that I wanted to tell you about, and I'm mad about it now.
Well, you know, we haven't even talked about, and we've been recording for 43 minutes, is
2024.
Just like we need to talk about Nicole Scherzinger in Sunset Boulevard. We need to talk about the ABBA voyage. God. Like, what are we doing here?
Okay,
we can't even make any predictions. Like, this episode's going to be way too long.
My prediction is that you should all sit down by your phones right now and listen to this very brief and intense review of Pussycat Boulevard, showing now at the Savoy Theater in London, starring Nicole Scherzinger as Norma Desmond in London's West End. She will only be there until this coming weekend, January 6th. I urge you to dip into your children's college funds and buy a ticket to this instead and let your children just work their way through school. I have seen Sunset Boulevard many times over the years with several different actresses. This is when you say that she's bringing something different to the role. Nicole Scherzinger is not just bringing something different to Sunset Boulevard. She is turning it into just a chapter of the Nicole Scherzinger story. Like, Norma Desmond is still there. She's speaking Norma Desmond's words, but the character of Norma Desmond is now someone who acts like Nicole Scherzinger. And make no mistake, Nicole Scherzinger is funny. She's a good actress, and she can wail. I mean, if your eyes are closed, God forgive me. If your eyes are closed when she's belting, she's giving Lupone. I'm telling you.
Like, no, really?
She's got that kind of belt. When she's like at her peak in her range, just note by note, she just becomes Lupone. She's not nearly the actress that Patti Lupone is and never would be. And I just realized, I just realized that Patti Lupone played the role in London and then was fired when it came to New York. How weird. Interesting. Very interesting.
Wait, so it was good. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's a stripped down production. You know, there's no sets. It's all actors dressed in black and white. And, you know, it's still Andrew Lloyd Webber music. It's still not tightly written. Like, there are still holes in it, but it's still, the story is wonderful. You know, I mean, the original Billy Wilder story of Sunset Boulevard is wonderful. And it's funny because Nicole Scherzinger is 42 years old, which is what the character of Norma Desmond is supposed to be. I mean, she's supposed to be like in her early 40s.
Not 98, like what's her name?
Not like in her 70s, which Glenn is and was the last time she played. Where it's
last year, like truly like 5 months
right,
ago.
Where it's like, it's supposed to be Hollywood turned their back on you because you aged out in middle age, not because you can't get up the stairs without people carrying you, you know, which was like, and yeah, I mean, Nicole Scherzinger, and there are like, you see, there are a lot of video elements in the show and a giant screen and with handheld cameras inches from everyone's face. And you see every wrinkle, every nook and cranny of everyone's face in the show and right up there. And, you know, Nicole Scherzinger is incredibly glamorous. And to see someone shot that close, who's that like, glamorous,
like, yeah,
is, you know, like mildly jarring because many people don't do that. And, but she owned it. I mean, she sang the shit out of it and was just very Nicole Scherzinger. You know, she's got like a Broadway voice, but she's still Pussycat Dolls when it comes to the arrangements. Like, she can't sing the word I. She can't go I. She's always got to go her. You know, she's always got to put the H in front of it.
Like, loosen up my button.
It was. She can't.
Have you ever seen the video of the guy who, it's one of Eric and I's favorite videos, and it's like all the other girls in the Pussycat Dolls, and it's like Nicole Scherzinger singing, and then the other ones are like, and then they're doing.
We
this,
have
and
talked.
The one
about
guy has
before.
Like a fake leg. He like holds his fake leg up, and he's like, and it's like them doing splits. Like, it's so funny.
She is barefoot and in a slip the entire show. She's in phenomenal shape. And
I thought you were going to tell me that she was like an absolute fucking cuckoo bananas, like beyond.
She is. I mean, she definitely is. But this is currently like the hottest ticket on the West End right now. I hope that's they bring crazy. It here.
Good for her. Good for her. Honestly,
I really good for her. Yeah, because I think it really did bring a new, something new to the role, where it's like she's just washed up at 40, which is what the story is supposed to be about.
Yeah,
not washed up at 80. And it's just funny because this is what 40 looks like now. It looks like 20 from.
Yeah. It's like you're working more than you ever would.
Right. And then I saw the ABBA show. And it was.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of 80 year olds, tell me about the ABBA voice.
It was
like
great.
The hologram show.
It was more than what I know what a hologram looks like, and I've seen it on the internet. And so I knew I was going to be like, oh my God, it's like real people are there. But the big achievement is like, this show takes place in an actual arena. Like, there are thousands of people there every day. And just the production value of the show and the lights in the arena and stuff, you really feel like you are at an actual concert. And more than half the arena is a dance floor, like the dance pit.
Stop. Oh, God, I want to go so bad.
I will go again. If we go to London together, we'll definitely go. It was so much fun.
Oh my God. People but you know my mom there. And I... You know, my mom and I were just singing like the SNL, like ABBA
that
parody
so,
things.
That's the like whole... the funniest thing they did all year.
No, it's
except
so
for Lisa
funny.
From Temecula. That ABBA yeah. thing is like the funniest.
No, the
thing
ABBA thing was like beyond. Like all my mom and I did for 5 days was go la la li la, fa la li la la. Like all we did, like it was so fucking funny. And I'm like, fuck, why did I not go to ABBA Voyage last year when I was in London?
But I hadn't been to Europe since before COVID. And I love London. And I saw several other shows while I was there. One of them I don't want to talk about because I didn't get to see it because I was dressed and then my grinder went off and I just didn't go to the show.
Dear God in heaven.
But I'm just telling you, it was this play about John Gielgud and Richard Burton, but I don't know what to tell you. It was my last night in London and I made the choice. Okay. I chose Carnal. I'd seen enough shows and I chose to be in one that night, a private show. I took about something unnecessary to say on the podcast.
God.
But it was really true. So I hope whoever was sitting in the seat next to me in the dress circle for The Motive and The Cue enjoyed the seat for their coat that night.
Oh my God.
Because I paid $300.
Speaking of shows. We need to do our predictions. We've been talking for 50 minutes and now we don't. Like, people are leaving. People are walking away. We have to do our predictions.
I don't believe people are walking away. I think that they're just but I want to say one thing about Paris, which is where I spent New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
There are an abundance of prêt-à-mangers in Paris and I found it disturbing. I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay. How? This is fake joke French food to us. How is it an actual restaurant there?
I think it's French.
I didn't know that it was actually French. I know that
we have
manger.
Like the shit ass bullshit version, I think. Or did they also have that?
I wouldn't go inside. Every time I have their tuna, I get heartburn. Every time. They have great cookies though. Also, everyone in France smokes. I forgot. Everyone in France smokes and everyone brings their dogs everywhere and their dogs smoke.
Dear God. They bring their dogs everywhere?
Everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. Bars, restaurants, stores. I mean, it happens occasionally in the US, but everyone has a dog there. A dog that smokes that they bring into church and the bathhouse everywhere.
I'm just picturing a dog smoking a cigarette and it's so funny.
All right, now it's time to talk about 2024. I don't have any sound effects for it. We have no guests this week, listeners. It's just us. We're just rambling on. That's how we wanted to start the year.
Dominic, what are your 2024 predictions in pop culture?
Here are my 2024 predictions in pop culture. I believe that there's a presidential election coming up next year and that in an effort to ignore all of it, I'm going to descend deeper into a world where I believe that everything is controlled by The Real Housewives and Kim Petras, basically. Okay. That's my prediction right there, is that this podcast is going to be needed more than ever by the citizens of the world, because we're not going to talk about the election on it. That's my first prediction. My second prediction is that there's going to be a wave of predator lawsuit settlements in the first 6 months of 2024.
Okay. Meaning?
Sean P. Diddy Combs, Russell Brand.
Like ones we already know
Nigel
about are
going to
be settled.
I think one Got after it. The other, they're all just going to start coming down like dominoes. That's
I know, just
saying.
Do. And that, like, why not just fucking settle? Like, you're filthy rich. Just settle, right?
I think in certain cases, they're not being given that option. I mean, it's some of these are potentially criminal, not civil.
Well, sure. No, yes. But, like, I don't know. I mean, it's horrible of me to say. I mean, like, sure. Like, right? I don't know.
I don't know. But. No, I mean, it's not, like, this has nothing to do with us believing any
people making
the accusations. It has to do with... It has to do with all famous men being accused of sexual assault.
Well, there you go, Dominic.
But what is it? I mean, it's so funny. Like, this whole Jeffrey Epstein doc dump that's happening this week. It's like Bill Clinton and Donald Trump are two of the names on the register list flying on the plane. It's like, they're both presidents of the United States. Like, how? It's a very small group of people here that are running everything, and they like to assault each other. But they really do. Is that a requirement to fame? Is just to hit people with your dick or put your hand up their skirt? I don't understand.
To bounce off of that, I think that we're going to get one of my first predictions of 2024. You know how we were like in this retrospective of like Pam and Tommy and like Pamela Anderson, and now like Paris Hilton is getting her like retrospective thing. And like,
right.
We're kind of re-examining Britney and all that stuff. I think the 2010s, like early 2010s, is going to have a wave of that as well. Like people that got famous in like the time of right before social media became what it was, and kind of like before influencers, but like the Gossip Girl days and the Glee days and like that era of the 2010s, I think is going to get re-examined.
In what way? Like, we're going to
documentaries, people writing books, like people on the internet, like talking about these celebrities that were popping up in the 2010s. I think,
but
that
not being
is really...
canceled because of the content.
No, right. No, but like from what Pamela Anderson's like, hi, you remember me? I was an absolute icon of the world. Then I went away forever.
Right.
Here I am again. I'm going to tell my story on my terms, and I'm going to be on red carpets again with no makeup. That someone. Whether that's Ashley Tisdale from High School Musical.
How dare you bring her name here? How dare you bring her name onto this podcast?
Or like someone else, that's happening. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm still not over it.
Not Ashley Tisdale. I'm joking about her. But like someone in that realm, or like people from Glee, like coming out about Ryan Murphy, or like how bad it was there, or like that Leah Michelle can't read, like those people or something in that world. People from Gossip Girl, like coming back and being like, I don't know. There's something in that realm.
Going back a few years before that. I don't know why you're reminding me of this, but James Vanderbeek posted something on Instagram about his predictions for 2024 or something, or like an inspirational quote for 2024. He thinks the world's problems can be solved by looking within the problems themselves and seeing that the solution is in there. And he used wiping soot. He used cleaning soot off of the glass on his wood-burning stove with the soot from the fireplace itself. And the whole reason I even brought him up is because I swear to you, when I was scrolling on Instagram and I saw James Vanderbeek, at this point, I thought he was elderly actor James Cromwell when I was scrolling through, because that's who he looked like. He looked like the farmer from Babe. That's how old James Vanderbeek is now. Was he like having a Luke Perry moment when he was on Dawson's Creek? Like, was he 40 and in high school then?
I don't know. I actually don't know. I think he was a kid.
Well, he's not anymore.
Well, he did. Well, back in the day, he was like on shows as himself, and they were like, "Isn't he still hot?"
So that was funny. What show was that? Don't Trust the Bee.
Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, which is a great show.
A great show. A great show.
Like a retrospective on that. Not really, but do you know what I'm saying? Like I'm talking that era. I'm like the very beginning of streaming. Like that. I think we're far enough away from it that that's what's gonna start popping up. That's a prediction. And I think that you're very astute that you said in the Fixie Awards, which, by the way, we have not even brought up. And so many people loved and everyone has been saying how excited they are for next year already.
Oh, I love that.
Like, they loved the Fixie Awards. So we can't wait to put on an even greater show.
Well, I don't know how much greater you're going to get than the audio that I provided this year. So,
but what you said about Brangelina, I'm like, like the hammer's coming down.
It is
like there's going to be, and not that everyone's going to get canceled or this or that or whatever, but like, I think we're going to dive deep into their relationship.
Yeah. And I think there, I wish that there would be like a definitive book that would come out about Brangelina. I wish I don't know who has to write it. If even if it's one of the kids, who's the kid that called Brad Pitt an asshole on Father's Day?
Shiloh, I think.
That whoever that kid should write the book or just do a series of TikToks or something. But this is the year Brad Pitt falls, I'm telling you. It's definitely that year.
I also think it ties into the like that was that era too, kind of. Like I almost think that like the famous couples is going to get like a resurgence. Like we're going to go back and like, look at
maybe there's going to be an upheaval though. I'm going to say this right now on this podcast, J-Lo and Ben Affleck split up by the end of this year.
Dominic, I was about to go there. I swear to you. They're and I stopped
happy.
Myself.
They're just nice. You see it every time. They're not happy. It's gotta be over.
They were like, you know what would be great is if people were like freaking out that we were getting back together. Like that'd be so funny. And then they actually got married and now they're like,
we're
married. They wake up every morning and they're like, we're married. Like they are so over each other. It's not even funny.
They're going to hate each other. When they hate each other. There's no doubt. She's going to divorce him and probably marry Diddy. I'm kidding about that last part, but
I swear to you, I had the same thing. I swear to you.
A movie that I'm looking forward to this year mostly is Furiosa, the prequel for Mad Max Fury Road. Did you see that movie?
Yes.
Loved and live. And the role that was originated by Charlize Theron will be played by Anya Taylor-Joy, who I love, but I don't trust. She's almost too good. And too pretty. And she might be good.
I think she's gonna do it.
Oh, I think she'll nail it, but her press appearances will freak me out because I think she's too perfect.
Oh, I think that we're gonna get a lot of influencers breaking down and being like this whole world. Like, remember like when they first started and then there was those few that like detracted and were like, everything on Instagram is fake and here's like a manifesto about why my whole life is a lie. I think that a lot of that is going to happen this year.
Interesting.
We're at a fever pitch. Every single person is like, thinks that they're a fucking influencer and is like putting up like a year in review or like this and this thing and like all these different hacks. Like everyone just thinks that they have like a whole fan base and they just don't. And like, I just feel it being so oversaturated that I think that there's going to be like something big is going to happen with the influencers. I'm telling you.
I think that there needs to be an alternate. There needs, you know, we have The View and then we have The Talk, which has added men to it. So it's obviously now a substandard version of The View. There needs to be a third answer to all of this. Where it needs, I don't know what we would call it, but it needs to be like these pop culture outcast people, like five of these people at a table. Here's who I want. I want Gypsy Rose Lee at this table. I
love that you call her Gypsy Rose Lee.
Is it just Gypsy Rose?
It's Gypsy Rose Blanchard is her last name.
Oh, God, why do I keep saying Gypsy Rose?
Well, because Gypsy Rose Lee is the name of the main character in Gypsy.
Because I'm an elderly gay person.
My favorite musical of all time, by the way. I know every single word to the whole thing.
I am unsurprised about that.
Okay, continue. Continue. Gypsy Rose Lee.
I want to see Gypsy Rose Blanchard. No, I want Gypsy Rose Blanchard. I want Rachel Dolezal at that table. Let's just put a couple of other people here. Like, this is the pitch I'm giving to you, Hollywood. Do this. Because the moderator of this should be Meghan Markle. Like, there's absolutely no... She's got nothing else.
Get George Santos in there. He's right in there.
He's got to be dressed as Kitara Ravash. Well, he hopes he can't be 100%. Fully male.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Meghan Markle has up her sleeve, but she's been quiet for almost a full year.
I know.
And she is... I don't know what she's planning something, but I'm telling you...
It's dropping.
Let's play this back in January of 2025. I will have spoken about her for at least 20% of my holiday show next year because she's going to take over pop culture.
Dominic, you couldn't be more right if you tried.
I don't know what
she's
going to be.
Waiting in the wings. I don't know with what, but it's a loaded gun. I know that.
I'm reading a lot on the internet recently that says that she wants to go back to the UK, that they want back in the royal family. Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Well, you know that, the fact that we have not spoken about this enough, that they got out of their Spotify contract and people revealed that she didn't even do the real interviews with the guests and they had a producer do it and then edit her in as if she was interviewing them. Are you aware of this?
I am not aware of that. And it really disappoints me, to be honest.
Like, true, the fact that that is not the first thing that everyone brings up about her is, like, one, good for her, because it's very incriminating and detrimental.
Well, sure. I mean, that's quite a workload.
With the fact that we don't talk about this every day is a crime.
That's terrible.
Yes. Like, a producer interviewing them, and then she would just record on her own, separate from it, like, her asking them questions.
That really upsets me about her. Because I was hoping that she'd have a big work. I was hoping that the work ethic would make up for some of the other critiques, but apparently that isn't the case. The other thing I'm thinking about is I love that they got out of that Spotify contract so easily without any penalties. But if I wanted to cancel Spotify, they'd keep billing me for like 7 months. Don't even get me started on LA Fitness. I left there in 2018 and I still occasionally pay 1 month. A year.
No. Are you serious?
It pops up on my fucking credit card once in a while. It was terrible.
That's insane.
So Pret a Manger, we think, is an actual French company that is selling French food here?
I think so. I'm Googling it right now.
I'm going back to many places. My friend Liam James Daniel, by the way, on Facebook, has said that people are referring to Maestro as La Vie en Nose.
Wait, that's really good. Pret a Manger is British.
It's British. Okay. I don't know.
Wait, so La Vie en Nose. That's really
Isn't that hilarious?
Funny. Yeah. It's also just no. Like, we had tar. We had tar. Okay.
What tar? And guess Well, it really wasn't fiction, but
sure wasn't. But we had tar. Do you know what I mean? Like, why are you doing this to us?
Yeah, but you love tar so much. You want classical music to cease to exist because it won't get better than it was in tar.
I'm just saying, like, you're not going to get better than Cate Blanchett doing this. Like, Bradley Cooper, you're great, but you're not going to be better.
Well, that's why he used this voice, because I'm a homosexual. Do you want to get married?
Is it really that bad? Have you watched it?
I watched the first 45 minutes.
Oh, you told me. Was it really that bad?
It wasn't bad. It's a mood. You just got to really be in the mood for it. And like I said, we weren't like mocking it. We just said we're not in the mood for this particular thing tonight. I did see The Holdovers as well. And I thought that it was fantastic with Paul Giamatti, the great Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. Any other predictions before we go?
You like stop talking about current events and talk about the future. My predictions are this. The Golden Globes are going to be an unmitigated disaster. I don't know the person who's hosting.
Wait, I had written down to write that the New Year's Rockin' Eve was going to be an unmitigated disaster, and I forgot all about it because I was filled with rage, but I wanted to quote you saying, to quote you, Dominic, New Year's Rockin' Eve was an unmitigated disaster.
Unmitigated disaster. I can tell you that this podcast is going to continue to blossom and thrive during 2024. And it's just a matter of time before we're going to force you to see our faces. You've asked. Don't make it. Chris does not want to do it. I'm telling you, he does not want to do it. I want the privilege of my face to be in all of your homes. That's what I want for you. That's my wish for you this holiday season.
Maybe a special episode here and there.
Have you heard about Generation Alpha, by the way? The articles are now coming forth about Generation Alpha. It's the only generation. I don't know. I don't understand how this is true. It's the only generation born fully in the 21st century. The oldest are about 13 and the youngest will be born this coming year. It's called Generation Alpha, born between 2010 and 2024. They're seen as a landmark generation and they're expected to be the largest generation in history at more than 2 billion people. Generation Alpha is mostly the children of millennials. Their immediate predecessors belong to Gen Z, who could take over baby boomers in the workplace in 2024, by the way. And they are called iPad kids, Generation Alpha, because they are the first generation to be fully tableted as far as a nanny goes.
I mean, yeah, have I heard of this generation of human beings? Yes, Dominic, I have.
I have not heard of them until today when I was like, oh, no. Hey Siri, yeah, what's up with 2024? And she was like, well, Generation Alpha is going to fucking take over.
Yeah. I don't know how to respond
to that.
Oh, Lord.
I cannot. Still.
Okay.
My prediction is that Siri will terrorize me for the whole year.
Yeah, well, that's a reality. That's not even a prediction. That's a reality you live every day. Other predictions for me, I think there's going to be a lot of A-list celebrities really trying to be reality stars, not in the sense of like them going on like a reality show, but like the Beckhams documentary that was so successful. Mm-hmm. Like there's going to be so many A-list celebrities trying to infiltrate our line of work that it's going to be one insufferable for us personally, but also like there's going to be so many A-list celebrities trying to do things that aren't be actors or singers. And like, much like you and I can attest to, they'll try for 15 minutes and then realize it's way much work than showing up to set for one day and then doing your lines and leaving, and then they'll leave. But they're going to try.
Because they'll probably realize that being themselves actually requires more acting than acting, and they'll just go back to acting.
Yes.
Because the Beckhams are really taking that to the bank. I mean, when David Beckham tweeted just yesterday, he was like just having a lovely New Year's lunch with the in-laws. They drove their Rolls Royce home from this meal. I mean, it's hilarious and genius. Yeah. And she'll, you know, she talks in the documentary about people screaming like Posh Spice takes it up the ass. But this Rolls Royce thing has now eclipsed that as the thing everyone will think about her for the rest of her life.
It's, but that being said, like we're talking about them again. They were like, in a couple. But again, they were like an it couple of this time that is like that I think is going to resurge. And now it's like they're right back there. They've like reminded us that they were an it couple and it's worked. Because like, what is he doing now? Nothing. They were everywhere for like 5 or 6 years. Everywhere.
Is there going to be another Spice Girls reunion tour?
I hope so.
Because they can never get Victoria to do it. Now that maybe she's popular again, maybe she'll deign to do it.
No, but I don't think she needs to do it now.
I mean, she's likely going to be a grandmother or close to it at this time next year anyway. Yeah, I bet that Brooklyn's wife is going to get pregnant just to piss her off. Hey, Siri, how old is Victoria Beckham? She's 49 years old, so she'll be 50.
Yeah.
Next year. Do you like how I did that math so instantly live?
Yeah, plus one.
I wonder if she'll be a grandmother before 50. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
All right. Well, I also just predict that we have a lot coming down the pipe here. I'll tell you that much right now.
Yes, we will have news breaking regularly about our expansion and all sorts of other really fun things.
We'll be back next week with a normal episode. Thank you for letting us predict and just ramble on about absolutely nothing for about...
Yeah, thanks for letting us just talk shit. Like, thanks for having a drink with Chris and Dom today.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what this was.
For real. All right. Well, Dominic, I wish you well. And where's Shelly?
Oh, I have this neck cream, too, that I'm going to put on. I'm gonna put it on right before next week's fix. And we'll see if my neck is on fire by the end of the episode.
Okay.
And I will videotape that and put it on Instagram, and you can see it going on my neck. And this was given to us by a listener in Los Angeles. It's called Beverly Hills MD is the brand. So
that sounds good.
Mark your calendars for next week to listen to me scream bloody murder when a listener poisoned me with neck acid.
Why do you think it's going to burn?
I don't know. I'm going to pretend it's going to anyway. I'm telling you that right now. If you want to just listen to me,
Dominic, I could have predicted that. Okay.
Tune in next week when I scream like a lady. A lady whose neck is on fire. We love you, listeners.
We love you. This was speaking of an unmitigated disaster, this was an unmitigated disaster, but we'll be back next week with another great episode. We
love you all. I feel like this was actually a mitigated disaster. Oh, by the way, Chris, where can the listeners find you?
They can find me at The Chris DeRosa, and you can find the show at Fixing Famous People. Dominic, where can the listeners find you?
My website is dominterry.com, and on socials, you can find me at Dominic Pupa. Chris, do you have one final question for our listeners?
Where is Shelly? Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.